Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. We thank you for how you have been helping us in so many ways. Thank you for victories you have given to us. Thank you, Lord, for your power that is working in our lives to change us into the person you want us to be. Thank you for your light that is revealing your truth to us. And thank you for the grace you have given to us to do what is right in your sight. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, because you have been helping us to be obedient to your teachings and instructions and commandments. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for helping us to fulfill your desires. Thank you, Father. We thank you because your word is producing great results in our lives and situations. Our faith in your word and our application of your word to what we do on a daily basis has been producing great results. Thank you, Lord, for showing us your faithfulness. Even the application of your word in the place of prayer has been producing great results and rewards. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the Bible study teachings we have been doing on this platform for a while. Thank you for how you have been using these teaching discussions to change lives, to save lives, to revive people, to strengthen people, to restore people, and to help many out there who are in darkness. Thank you for great things you have done through these Bible study classes. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We ask, O Lord, that in this very moment, in this very hour, fellowship with us as we will be having fellowship with your word. Father, we ask that you fellowship with us in Jesus' name. Let your Holy Spirit minister to every heart, every mind, every soul as we would be discussing right now. Let your Holy Spirit minister to everyone. Let everyone be able to learn what you want to show them. Have your way in our midst, O Lord Jesus. Let your name be forever glorified. Thank you, Father, because we know you shall do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence, and I believe that if you pay attention to what the Lord will be showing you in today's teaching class, I believe you will learn a lot. Yeah, so make sure you're not distracted. And make sure you ask questions where necessary. May the Lord help you. Amen. So we are going to continue with our topic or title that says Building a Strong Discerning Spirit. Building a Strong Discerning Spirit. And we would continue from where I stopped during the last class. And you know that I stopped at the point, I'm still on the introduction. And I stopped at the point where I mentioned about the birth of God, which is also the rising of the light. The birth of God, which is also the rising of the light. And I said I was not trying to assume that I know how God came into existence. And I was not trying to assume that I know how God was created. Yeah, but what I meant by the birth of God is because I know why God, from the scripture, I know why God existed. Yeah, I know why he's existing and what his personality and nature stands for. Yeah. So that is what I mean by the rising of the light. Yeah, and I said it during the last class that God came to existence to stop and subdue and end darkness. Yeah, so that is the rising of the light. So the light was birthed, or God was, God exists so that darkness will be no more. Yeah, so that darkness will be permanently conquered and defeated. Yeah, so, and I remember some years back when the Holy Spirit gave me a revelation of the heart of God. The Holy Spirit showed me how the heart of God looks like. And I saw in the heart of God victory. Yeah, I saw four things in the heart of God. I saw faith. I saw love. I saw destiny. And I saw victory. Yeah, I know there are many things in the heart of God, but that was the four things I saw: faith, love, destiny, and victory. Yeah, but now I'm just going to talk about the victory aspect. So God exists because of victory. Yeah, so there is always battle going on. Yeah, there's always battle going on. But none of those battles have been able to prevail over the realm of God. So a lot of forces are attacking the kingdom of God. And we can see that in the book of Matthew. Yeah, I think Matthew 11, where Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, Matthew 11 verse 12. Yeah, Jesus said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Yeah, so God came into existence by victory and for victory. So there is always war going on. Yeah, the forces of good is always against the forces of evil, and the forces of evil is always against the forces of good. So light is always fighting darkness, and darkness is always fighting light. Yeah, so but the victory light has over darkness, that victory is God. So that is why in the realm of God there is no darkness, and no darkness can live there. Yeah, there is no darkness, there is no slavery, there is no oppression. Yeah, because there is constant victory there. So God came into existence for victory. Yeah, according to this verse, Jesus was trying to show the people that the kingdom of heaven has been under attack from the time John the Baptist existed. And you know, John the Baptist was the last prophet according to the Old Testament dispensation, according to the dispensation of the law of Moses. John the Baptist was the last prophet. Yeah. So Jesus was saying that from the beginning of prophets, which is from Adam, because Adam was also, we can call Adam a prophet. Yeah, because Adam by prophetic ability was able to look at those animals in the Garden of Eden, and then he was able to call them names. In fact, he looked at the woman and said, you shall be called a woman because you were taken out of a man. Yeah, so we can call even Adam a prophet. Yeah, so from the time of Adam to the time of John the Baptist, or you can say from the time of Abraham or Enoch, all those people that had relationship with God, till the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has always been attacked. By who? By darkness. Yeah. Yeah. So Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Yeah. And it is a battle of who wins. So several times the enemy have won, and many times, I mean, I'm talking about here on earth, several times the enemy will conquer the nation of Israel, such as they start worshiping idols, they turn their back against God, they hate the truth. Sometimes they stone the prophets, they kill them. Yeah, that is when the enemy, darkness, is winning. And then sometimes there'll be a revival, and then everyone, like during the time of Elijah, all the prophets of Baal were slaughtered by Elijah, and the people returned back to God. Yeah, and at that point, the kingdom of heaven won. Yeah, so it has been like that. The light and darkness have always been fighting. They have never for once agreed. Yeah, so now God is to ensure that darkness remains defeated forever. I believe you get it now. So the existence of God is for victory, and it was by victory. Yeah, so God is God because He's victorious and He's always victorious. So in heaven, there is constant and persistent victory, and God wants to have the same on earth. God wants us to walk in the same victory that is in heaven. Yeah, God wants you to always be in victory. Victory over sin, victory over weaknesses, victory over sicknesses and diseases, victory over fear, victory over all forms of slavery, attacks, addictions, victory over forces of darkness, powers of darkness, witchcraft, victory over the flesh. So God wants us to walk in the same realm of victory that He is in heaven, even right here on earth. So I believe you understand that. So I'm going to mention some other scripture verses. Yeah, before we move to the next point. Yeah, because we are still under introduction. I'm still introducing the topic. Yeah, now let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. We're talking about the rising of the light, the birth of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. I read, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void," which also means the earth was void or empty. "And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Yeah, so that was the beginning of the scripture, Genesis. And the scripture began by saying, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, you need to understand that God has been in His kingdom. Yeah, so the heaven here is not the heaven God is. The heaven that was mentioned here is not the heaven that God is, because God has been before this time. Yeah, so the heaven here is talking about the second heaven, the place where we have the planets, where we have the sun, the moon. Yeah, we call it this space, the solar system, the realm where we have the stars. Yeah, this is the heaven that the Bible is talking about here, not the heaven where God is. Yeah, we don't know when that one was created. Yeah, and then verse 2, it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So it means that God began creation. God began to create the heaven and the earth at a point where there was nothing. there was nothing like what we have now. So everything was empty. There was no land. Yeah, there was no tree. There was no sun. Yeah, there was no stars. So everything was just empty. And everything was dark. Yeah, everything was dark. And everything was empty. Everything was formless. Yeah, until God began to speak. Yeah, so we can from the beginning of creation also know the nature of God, the personality of God. And what can we see in this account about God? I mean, in this verse 1 and verse 2, what can we see about God? Yeah, we can see that God has so much conquered darkness that he can separate darkness from the light. God has so much conquered darkness that right in the midst of darkness, he is there. Because in that verse it said, the Spirit of the Lord was upon the face of the waters. Yeah, because the waters was covering the depth. Everywhere was like empty. You know, when something is empty and then some part of it was water, some part has no end, like a bottomless pit. Yeah, so everywhere was just upside down before God began to create things. Yeah, nothing was in order. Everywhere was just upside down, and everywhere was dark. But right in the midst of a formless and empty earth or world, God began to put things in order. So, which means that God came into existence to put things in order. Yeah, to make what is right form, yeah, having conceived it in his heart, having conceived righteousness in his heart, having conceived righteousness in his mind, he began to speak it into existence. So the world that we see today has been inside God, has been in God's heart for a long time. So there have been plans inside of God or inside the realm of God to have a head like we have right now, and to have some creatures that will be called human beings, to have animals. So all these things have been inside of God in his realm before God now came out and began to speak them forth into existence. And as he was speaking, all of them were taking shape. All of them were taking shape. Yeah, so we can see God's personality as someone as someone that manifested in the midst of confusion, chaos, in the midst of emptiness, formless things. Things that is upside down, things that has no future, that has no direction. Yeah, and you know, we can see the nature of God as someone who will manifest in the midst of that and begin to speak and begin to make everything take shape, everything look nice, look beautiful. Yeah, so that is the kind of person God is. And we can see it in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, which means everything we are seeing right now, the beauty of nature, were not made from what is seen. So the raw material that produces what we are seeing now is not physical. That's what it means. The raw material that produces the physical things you and I are interacting with today is not physical. The raw material is spiritual, and it is called the Word of God. So the things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. And now you might be asking, how is all these things connected to building up a strong discerning spirit? It is connected because you must know the purpose. The purpose of God for everything He has created. You must know the place of light in everything God has created to be able to accurately discern the darkness in them. You must know the purpose of God behind everything He has created, to be able to discern what has gone wrong with what has been created. So that is why in this introduction I'm trying to build this foundation. So God spoke everything into existence for His righteous purposes. Of course, we know what happened. Everything became worse eventually. And you will see that in Genesis chapter 6, how God regretted that He created mankind. Because mankind turned to darkness. Mankind turned against God to embrace darkness. And all of that. So we can see in this scripture in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, that God is good. God is righteous. And everything He created from the beginning was good and was for good purposes, until darkness took over the first custodians of God's creation, which were Adam and Eve, the first occupants, or maybe let me not use occupants, the first people that God put in charge of everything He created, the first people God put in charge were Adam and Eve, and they failed. So from the moment they failed, darkness took over the earth from that moment. So we have seen how God created physical things just by speaking them forth. Out of nothing, He created everything we see today. And that also means a lot to you as a Christian. That means a lot to you as a Christian, as a believer. It means a lot to you, knowing that your Father spoke everything into existence, everything that you see today. So that means that you can also, by faith, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, speak many things also into existence, and they will start forming by faith. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you can begin to speak, and even you can begin to confess the Word of God, and the Word of God will start creating things. So God is still creating things. Even now, He's still creating everything He wants. Even now. Yeah. So all He needs is to speak. And thank God for the Spirit of God in you. So if God, by His Spirit and by faith, spoke and things formed, so you also as a Christian, by the Spirit of God in you and by faith, you also can speak and things will form, new things will form. Yeah, if evil is prevailing in your community, you can by Spirit, by the Spirit of God, and by faith, or speak good to prevail, and good will prevail. Yeah. I'm telling you what I have practiced, and it worked. Yeah. So even confessing the Word of God, carry your Bible and start speaking that this is the Word of God. And because the Word of God is true, therefore I speak this to happen in this situation. And then you wake up in the morning, you do that. In the afternoon, you do that. In the night, you do that. You keep speaking them forth. In the midnight, you do that. The next day, you do the same. I'm telling you, you won't do that for a week before things start changing in your situation. In fact, in your environment, things will start changing. Yeah, but that might not happen. I mean, a change might not happen if you are not faithful to the Word of God. Yeah, but if you are faithful to the Word of God, if you are obedient to the Word of God, you can also create things. Yeah, by the Holy Ghost that is in you. Even when you pray in the Spirit, you are creating things to happen. Those things might not be physical, and sometimes they can be physical, but you are just creating new things to happen, and they will start happening. Yeah, that is, by the way, I don't want to digress so much from the topic. I don't want to digress so much. Yeah, there's a comment here that says, I now understand why we must have faith. Yeah, out of nothingness, everything was created. Yes, the kingdom of heaven operates by faith. Yeah, so if you can't have faith, then you can't experience the power of God. Yeah, you must have faith. Yeah, you must have faith. And you must always have faith. Yeah, to see the power of God work. And you must not stop having faith. Yeah, that is it. So now let's move to another scripture in Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. I just want to bring out some things from these verses. Yeah, I read, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Because ye believed me not. Yeah, I believe You know what happened in this passage. Let me read verse 8. God was speaking to Moses. He said, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Now that was the instruction. God says, speak to the rock, and the rock will give forth its water. And then take this water to the people so that they can drink and give their animals to drink. Now see what Moses did in verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Now, God's judgment came in verse 12. God's judgment said, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Yeah, can you see God's judgment there? Yeah, God said, because you did not believe me. Why? Why did God say they didn't believe him? Yeah, it means they did not believe his leadership. Moses was expecting that God would be so angry with the people to punish them, because the people were actually very rebellious. The people, they murmured against God. They frustrated him. Yeah. The people really frustrated him because there was no water. And they were asking him all manner of questions. Why do you bring us to this wilderness to die? Yeah. Yeah. They were so frustrated. I mean, they were so harsh on Moses and Aaron. Yeah, so Moses was obviously very angry because of their actions or reactions. So he went to God. Maybe he was expecting, we don't know, but I know that he was not expecting that God would speak in that manner. He was expecting that God would maybe be angry with them as he was angry with them. And maybe God would judge them in a way. But God did not. So what God was going to give was a solution. Go and speak to the rock. Go and speak to the rock. And the rock will give the water. Yeah, but Moses and Aaron, they did not believe in God's leadership. They did not believe in God's leadership. So they felt that simple response from God was not enough. Yeah, so Moses feel like, I need to show that these people really, what they did was wrong. So even while carrying out the instruction, He decided to do it in his own way and not the way he was told. Yeah, he kind of feel like, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I don't know how to describe what was in the mind of Moses while he was misbehaving at that point. Maybe he kind of feel like, these people doesn't deserve this. because they are just wicked people. They are rebellious. They hate God. So you just feel like, let me show my anger to still make them know that they don't deserve this water that they ask for. Something like that. Though the Bible did not tell us how Moses felt in his mind, but I sense that he did not fully agree with the way God reacted when he took the case or the matter to God. He felt that God was being too nice to them. Yeah, that was why he decided to carry out the instruction in his own way, out of anger. Yeah, he must be very angry to have hit the rock twice. So maybe he hit the rock once and water did not come out. Then he hit it the second time. So he kind of made himself God at that point. And what did God say? God said, speak to the water. But he carried the rod, hit the... Sorry, God said, speak to the rock, and it would bring forth his water. But Moses, out of anger, hit the rock with his rod twice. So he kind of made himself God. Yeah, let's look at what he's saying. In verse 10. Okay, let me start from verse 9. The book of Numbers, chapter 20, from verse 9. It says, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? So you can see that he was very angry. So he felt that they don't even deserve water out of that rock. Yeah, and he kind of see himself as part of the power that's going to bring. So he kind of made himself God. Yeah, by lifting up his hand and smiting the rock twice. Number one, he disobeyed the instruction. And number two, he expressed his anger in such a way that he put the power into his hand. Yeah, there's no power in the hand of a mortal man. All power is in the hand of God. So the fact that God was using Moses doesn't put him in the place to take the place of God. It doesn't put him in a position to take the place of God. So he was supposed to honor God, and that was what God meant by him and Aaron did not sanctify him in the eyes of the children of Israel. So he was supposed to honor God. So even in the place of miracles, or how should I put it? Even at the point where miracles happen, God must always be honored. So no miracle should be done as if it is the man that is doing it. Yeah, no miracle should be done as if it is the man of God that is doing it. Every miracle must be done with honor, that the power is with God and not with man. Yeah, so if anybody is to pray for anyone that needs a miracle, I mean, if any man of God or any Christian is to pray for anyone that needs a miracle, he should not pray as if the power is with him. Even though he knows that after the prayer, a miracle will happen, He should not pray as if the power is with him. He should pray with reference and honor and acknowledgement that the power, the whole power is with God. So Moses tried to take the place of God in this place, and God judged him. Yeah, and in his own eyes, he thought he was doing the right thing, because he felt the people did not actually deserve such mercy. But God judged him for smiting the rock instead of speaking to the rock. So now, how does this connect with building a strong discerning spirit? Yeah, it shows that you can in the process of expressing your emotions embrace darkness. Yeah, because the essence of this teaching, the essence of teaching you how to build a strong discerning spirit, is so that you'll be able to separate light from darkness in everything and in every situation. And you'll be able to ignore the darkness and embrace the light. That is the essence of this teaching. Yeah, so it is possible that in the process of you expressing your feelings and emotions, you embrace the darkness. Even while you think it is okay to feel that way, it is okay to speak that way. Yeah, because some people, once they are angry, they try to justify that anger. Yeah, just like Moses in that scripture. Yeah, he was trying to justify God's that anger by disobeying the instruction. I don't know if you are getting the point. He was trying to justify his anger, his dark emotions, by disobeying the simple instruction God gave. Yeah, so he channeled his emotions in a wrong way. Your emotion can be channeled in the right way. Yeah, but when you channel it in the wrong way, it will lead to darkness. But when you channel it in the right way, God will be glorified. So that was why God said that because you did not sanctify me, you did not honor me in the sight of the children of Israel, therefore you will not enter into the promised land. Though I raise you up to lead these people to the promised land, you will not enter because you could not honor me in their sight. Yeah, and that judgment humbled Moses to the point of his death. He began to be very careful, very more careful with following God and obeying his commands. Yeah, so as you know, as good as you being angry against sin and against evil, you must still be careful, because even in that anger you have against what is wrong, you can still sin against God. For instance, if because you hate sin, you now begin to hate every sinner you see out there, you begin to condemn every sinner. Just as the Pharisees were condemning sinners, they were saying, Jesus, why are you fellowshipping with sinners? Why do you eat with them? Yeah, then you are committing sin. If you condemn people God has not condemned, people God wants to save, Because they presently they are committing sin, and then you condemn them. You can't preach the gospel to them. You can't pray that they repent. Then you are committing sin against God. Because the Bible says you should, that the same measure you use to judge others, the same measure will be used to judge you. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. He said you should not judge. So that judge means don't condemn people. Don't conclude that they can't repent, they can't change. Yeah, so that was why Jesus was found hitting with unbelievers. And that was why he said we should pray for our enemies. We should not take revenge. Yeah, because the person that hurts you and you are going to take revenge might be someone God wants in his kingdom. So in the process, you can become an enemy of God trying to take revenge, because God is still going to save the soul of that person. Yeah, so that is how your emotions can lead you to sin. Yeah, so you must not always follow your emotions. You must always follow the word of God. Even if your emotions is appearing appearing like it is pure, you must still be careful. If you think I have a good reason to be angry, what if you don't have a good reason to be angry? What if you are not supposed to be angry? Yeah. So that is what we can learn from Moses' situation. Yeah. So let's look at another scripture. I think this other scripture is just the same with the one I've read. The book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse 14. Yeah, this was God speaking. God said, "For ye rebelled against my commandments in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes." That is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Yeah. So God refused to allow Moses enter into the promised land because of that rebellion. Yeah, so another thing that we can learn is from the word sanctify, to sanctify me. So what does God mean by saying that the people failed, or that Moses and Aaron failed to sanctify him? What do they mean by that? Yeah. To sanctify God is to bring light out of darkness, or to refuse darkness and embrace the light. That's what it means to sanctify God. Yeah, because that was why God existed. Yeah, that light will overcome darkness. That light will always prevail over darkness. So as Christians, we must always want to glorify the light in the midst of darkness. I mean, that should be our desire, to exalt the light in the midst of darkness. Yeah, so when everyone is following after hatred, following after bitterness, unforgiveness, evil, you should choose otherwise. When everyone is going in the direction of darkness, you should choose otherwise. So by doing contrary to what darkness is doing, it means you are sanctifying God. So when the darkness wants you to think in a negative way, and then you repent in your heart, in your mind, to think differently, That means you have just sanctified God in your mind. Yeah. So to sanctify God is to bring out light out of darkness. Yeah. To do what is right in the midst of a situation that does not want you to do what is right. Yeah. So that is God. Yeah. That light in the midst of darkness is God. That light that rose out of darkness to prevail, that light is God. So you cannot feel that God wants to be glorified in everything. And if you as a Christian, you are after glorifying Him in everything, even in your relationship with your children, in your relationship with your spouse, in your relationship with your friends, your relationship with everyone, with unbelievers, with sinners, if your passion is always to glorify the light, to glorify God, when people are doing what is wrong, you don't join them to do the same, then God will always be in love with you. God will always be close to you. Anyone that does this, God will always be attracted to them. Yeah. Because that is the nature of God. That is why God exists. That light will rise out of darkness to defeat the darkness. Yeah. I hope you're understanding the teaching. Yeah. I know there is a comment. I'll look at it as we conclude the teaching. I mean, while we conclude the teaching, I will look at that comment. Now, if you... Okay, that was the last verse. Now, let's move to another point. We are still on that introduction. And I have talked about the beginning of darkness or the roots of darkness. And I just finished talking about the birth of God or the rising of the light. Now I'm going to talk about the confusion, pollution, and deception of darkness. The confusion, pollution, and deception of darkness. Yeah. So whenever there is confusion, God is not there. Whenever there is pollution, God is not there. Whenever there is deception, God is not there. Yeah, so the author of confusion, pollution, and deception is darkness. Yeah, so that is why sometimes when I start getting confused in my mind, I know that it is darkness. I know that it is not God. So what I do is that I just withdraw from that realm and go into prayer and start meditating on the Word of God. And by the time I meditate for some few minutes on the Word of God, my confusion is gone, as though it never existed. I mean, I won't feel that confusion again. It will be as if I was never confused. Yeah, so that was when I began to realize that confusion is of the devil and not of God, is of darkness and not of the light. The same with pollution, and the same with deception. Now you might want to ask that, what does it mean to be confused? Yeah, it's simple. To be confused is to be doubtful of your stand, to be doubtful of your stand or of your decision. Let's say you have already made a decision, or you're about to make a decision, and then you are doubtful. if it was the right decision. Yeah, that is, to me, that's a simple way of describing confusion. Yeah, you are doubtful if something is true or not. Or you don't know how to clearly understand what is going on. Everything seems to be right, and you don't know which one to choose. Or everything seems to be wrong, and you don't know where to find what is right so you can hold on to what is right. So that is the state of confusion. So every time you find yourself in that state, it means at that point you are in the midst of darkness. And just a simple thing to do is to withdraw from those things. So meaning that you just shut your mind against everything and then go into the place of prayer. Begin to pray and begin to meditate on the Word of God. And then the confusion will disappear. Because in that mist, I mean, in the place of prayer, while you're meditating and praying, and studying the Word of God, light will start rising from your soul. Light will start rising. And from there you begin to understand the situation from the mind of God. Not from the mind darkness wants you to think. Yeah, because darkness has a mind. So darkness tries to share their mind with you. They want you to think the way they are thinking. I'm talking about the kingdom of darkness or the realm of darkness. They have their own mind. So when you are confused, what they are doing is they are trying to make you think the way they are thinking. They're trying to make you reason the way they reason in darkness. Yeah, or the way they want you to reason according to their plans. Yeah, so when you shut down your mind in the midst of your confusion, you shut down your mind on those issues you are confused about, meaning that you stop thinking about them and you stop focusing on them, and then you now withdraw into the place of prayer. You withdraw into the realm of the spirit. By the time you spend some few minutes or hours in some cases, you start seeing the light rising from inside your soul. And God will now start making you to understand the situation from His own mind. Because in the light, they have a different mind from the mind that they have in the realm of darkness. So it's a two different mind or mindset. So as the light of God begins to rise from your soul, you will now begin to see the situation from a different mindset. And immediately you embrace the mindset that God will be giving you at that point. You will just see your darkness disappear. And it will be as if or as though you were never confused. I'm speaking from experience. It will be as though you were never confused. Because sometimes devil will visit me. Devil would visit me and begin to suggest all manner of rubbish. He would list all manner, he will magnify those rubbish and make them so real as though I should start crying. Or I should start, you know, running up and down looking for help or looking for solution. Whereas all those things he was suggesting were all lies, even though they appear real to the human mind, but they were all lies. So by the time I withdraw to the presence of the Lord and to begin to pray, then the revelation and the light that would appear in my soul would so much make sense that all my confusion would disappear. Yeah, I use the word make sense because they will be so powerful. Yeah, and these are revelations and truths that are in the Word of God. Yeah, and it will be as though I was never confused. By the time I embrace the light that God begins to shine in my heart, it will be as though I was never confused, because I would now be very okay and very full of joy. So that is why, as Christians, you must not joke with praying. The Bible says you pray without stopping, pray without ceasing. And you must not joke with studying the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. Yeah, because if you don't do this so often, you will be captured by darkness, and they will use the weapon of confusion. And of course, they will also use pollution and deception. During the next class, I will explain more on pollution and deception. There are still scriptures on at this point we will look at. Look at the comment on the question here. Now, our sister said, I once listened to a man of God say the rock, in this case, was a prophetic symbolism of Jesus Christ. Not sure anyone else has seen it this way. Yeah, that was what the scripture said. Yeah, that was what the scripture said. God gave Apostle Paul that revelation. Yeah. God gave Apostle Paul that revelation. He said that rock that Moses struck twice instead of speaking to it, Apostle Paul said that rock was Christ. And that can be seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. It says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And verse 5 says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Yeah. Yeah. And verse 6 says, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Yeah, so he said that Apostle Paul was saying in this scripture that the children of Israel, they had spiritual meat which fell from heaven, and Jesus also identified himself as the living bread. He said, whoever eats of him, he said, he's the bread of life. Whoever eats of him will never be hungry again. Yeah, so there were a lot of symbolism of Jesus in the Old Testament. There were a lot of things that symbolizes Jesus. Yeah, in fact, Apostle Paul believed by revelation that rock was a person, and that rock was Jesus, and that rock was following them. So maybe before they entered into that, maybe before the children of Israel entered into that location where they found the rock, maybe there was no rock there. Yeah, maybe the rock appeared just to give them water to drink. Yeah, because Apostle Paul said the rock was following them, and that rock was Christ. So Jesus has been following them. Yeah, Jesus did a lot in the Old Testament, but he was hiding under the name of God. And of course we know he is God. So So I believe that Jesus was hiding behind the name God of Israel. Yeah, because many acts that God did in the Old Testament, I believe it was Jesus doing it. So Jesus is also that rock that gave water. So Moses being consumed with anger didn't know that he was actually striking Jesus or striking God. Yeah. And that made God so vexed that he couldn't change his mind, despite that Moses begged God a lot to allow him enter the promised land. But he refused to change his mind. Yeah. Yeah, so that is it. Now let me look at another comment. Yeah, could it be that Moses struck the rock because God had asked him before to strike the rock? Hence, he was thinking that God was going to do the same, going to do the miracle the same way. I don't believe that. I mean, I don't think that. I don't think that is the case. Yeah, because the books Moses wrote, all the five books Moses wrote, yeah, or if some people assisted him to write it, but we know that those books were written during the lifetime, while Moses was still alive. Which is Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. So those five books, they were so carefully written. In fact, those people that were writing it, they were so careful. Or if it was Moses that wrote it, it was so carefully written. So everything that was penned down were carefully penned down, to the point that some of those accounts were repeated, and when they were repeated, they were the same thing that was repeated. I mean, some things that happened were mentioned more than once in the Old Testament. Like maybe you can see some things in Numbers, and then while you are reading Deuteronomy, you might find some of the things repeated again. And if you compare the two, they were exact thing. So they were so carefully written in such a way that if God had once spoken to Moses to strike the rock, it would have been penned down. And let's say if this were the case, God wouldn't have been angry. Yeah, God wouldn't have been angry. So Moses was actually rebellious in that case. Though he was a humble man, was a very meek man, very quiet person, and very obedient. But he failed at that point because of anger. Yeah, so there was no record that God had at the time gave him an option that, okay, if you like, you can also strike the rock. Or if you like, you speak. Yeah, there was no record that God gave him an option that, okay, either speak or strike, water will come out. Yeah, Moses knew that God was going to produce water out of that rock. Just as many men of God knew that for instance, if I'm going to pray for someone, if the miracle will happen at that time, there's a way I will know that the miracle will happen at that time. That discernment is in every man of God that is very close to God. Yeah, there's a way you will know that a miracle is going to follow the prayer you just prayed or the prayer you're about to pray. There's a way you will know in your spirit that a visible miracle will happen, and it will be so. So I'm sure Moses knew, yeah, because he's a man that was very close to God. He knew that water was going to come out of that rock. He was so sure. Yeah, but he felt like he could just do it anyhow. And that was where the judgment came. He felt he could just do it anyhow. So he did not, he failed to honor God and glorify him by following the simple instruction. Yeah, just as some men of God, we minister to people, and you can see pride as they are ministering to people. Though the miracle will happen, but there was pride when they are ministering to people. And some, you can see arrogance there. Yeah, and they began to feel like they are the one doing the miracles. And they are the one who have the power and stuff like that. I believe you get the point. Yeah, I believe you understand now. So that was the problem with Moses. He knew water was going to come out of the rock, but he felt he could do it anyhow because he was angry. So he decided to bring emotions into spiritual ministry. You don't bring emotions into spiritual ministry. Yeah, I've learned not to be that foolish when in ministry. So if I have an emotional problem, I have to put it aside before I start ministering to God's people and leading God's people. So I must not bring whatever emotion or sentiment that I have into the place of ministry. I must not do that, because there's no way I will glorify God if I am filled with that dark emotions. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for letting me know that you now understood. Now, if there are other questions, you can ask on the group and I will answer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us from your word, your light, and how we can embrace the light and reject darkness, even in our emotions and thoughts and feelings. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the importance of walking in the Spirit and how it will deliver us from confusion. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that everyone who has listened to this teaching receive more understanding from you as they meditate on these teachings. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every one of you that you will be strong enough to embrace the light in a world that is so full of darkness, even in this present world. I pray for you that the Holy Ghost in you will strengthen you to embrace the light and to follow the light in the name of Jesus. I pray that whatsoever you have been doing that has been multiplying darkness in your life, multiplying darkness in your emotions, in your thoughts, in your mind, I pray that you receive grace right now and repent and stop doing them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. We ask, O God, that as we continue in this teaching series, Lord, open our eyes to see more of your light and truths. And let the topic, the title of this teaching, become a reality in our lives. Let us have a strong discerning spirit indeed, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Remain blessed in Jesus' name.